Ezekiel chapter 36, and I want us to begin reading at the verse 23. I want to show you in this chapter how the Lord makes a prophecy concerning Israel. And I want you to look for that part of the prophecy which has been fulfilled, and then that part of the prophecy which has not yet been fulfilled. Takes a little bit of detective work, and yet, boys and girls, it's nothing more than just looking at the words that God has spoken. That's all that is involved, just noticing the words exactly. So, we're looking for part of the prophecy that we're about to read that has been fulfilled, and that part of the prophecy which has not been fulfilled. Let's begin at verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, plural. And I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the tree, that ye may receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. And we know God will bless this reading of this sizable portion of his precious word to all our hearts. Now, did anyone notice in that wonderful prophecy that God has given us here, the part that's fulfilled and the part that has yet to be fulfilled? Let me quickly show you. In the verse 24, God says, "For I will take you from among the heathen, and will gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." That has happened. In 1948, the state of Israel came into existence again, having been destroyed in AD 70, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and really wiped out the nation of Israel and scattered the Jews everywhere. And there was no longer an Israel, no longer the nation. The next verse says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." What does that phrase, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean," what does that symbolize? What is it speaking of? That's speaking of conversion. That's speaking of conversion. When a person is converted, they go on to be baptized. And really, their baptism is a symbol of that which they have experienced spiritually. They have been washed, not by water, but by the blood of the Lamb. And God is here saying, "Then will I save Israel." Has that happened? Is Israel converted? Is Israel saved? Does Israel believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Israel's yet in darkness, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in this prophecy, God says, "I will bring you into your land." He's done that. And then he goes on to say, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you," so that in the land of Israel, there is a work of conversion that will take place of the Jew. That hasn't happened. So today we stand, as it were, in between verse 24 and verse 25. On one hand, they're in the land, but on the other hand, they're not converted. So if we were to wonder just where we are in the prophetic program that God has drawn up, well, now we know we're in between verse 24 and verse 25. That indicates to us, you know, that we are getting close to the end. If we can see that God's purpose for Israel has begun to be fulfilled, then we know that very soon the last part of this prophecy will be fulfilled. You see, we're considering here in our study how that there will be specific signs that will announce the approach of the Lord Jesus Christ. On Tuesday we mentioned how that one of the signs would be increasing wickedness across the world, a departing from God, a dimming of the light, a dying out of truth among the nation. You know, when you were out today, you mightn't have noticed, but I do ask you to notice on your way home how that the trees are beginning to turn. Leaves are beginning to change their color, lose their color. Some are already falling. What does that tell us? Winter's coming. Winter's coming. Soon they will fall off the trees completely. And winter means shorter days, less sunlight, increasing darkness, longer nights. Well, God has said that just as winter is signaled, its approach is signaled by what's happening out there in nature, the signs of dying and decay, telling us that the dark days are coming. Well, so God says that there will be signs in the spiritual world that the dark days of winter, when the earth will turn more and more and more away from God, till that great day when the Lord comes again to judge wickedness. God has given us prophecy out there in nature, repeats it every year to let us know that in the winter time, in the times of darkness and deadness, we have some warning of its approach by the leaves decaying and falling from the trees. And in like fashion, we know that towards the end of this age, wickedness is going to increase, and men will depart away from God, and darkness will descend upon the minds of men and women, and they'll return to paganism, to heathenism, and they'll no longer know what was once known to a far greater degree amongst the nations, even the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So there are these signs, the increasing wickedness, and today we've already begun to look at the fact that there will be signs in and around Israel. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, that was a sign. Very few, I would say, recognized it to be so. Oh, there were many among God's people who recognized it for its significance. But outside of them, few people in the world recognized this as something new and wonderful. This is an indication that God, who promised to bring his people back into their land, has fulfilled that promise. And we're one step nearer the return of Christ. For it's at the return of Christ that Israel will be sealed. That's when Israel will be sealed. If you turn in your Bible very, very quickly to the book of Zechariah, I'm going to read to you the record that's given us there concerning the conversion of Israel, how it will happen, how it will take place. You can read for yourself in the chapter 12 and then in the chapter 14 of Zechariah. Zechariah's right there at the end of the Old Testament. That's one book back from the last book of the Old Testament. You have Malachi, the last book, then go back a few pages and you're in Zechariah. And in chapter 12, God says, in that day, verse 4, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah. That's God saying, I will return my favor to Israel. I'll open my eyes upon them. I'll take notice of them. Turn to chapter 14 and you'll see it given in greater detail. In the chapter 14 you have the siege of Jerusalem, one of the events at the very end of the age. In verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And look at these words. And he shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now you know what those words signify. When the Lord led his disciples out of Jerusalem, before he left them and went to heaven, he led them onto the Mount of Olives. And then, before their eyes, he ascended up into heaven. And they were gazing up into heaven. After he had gone out of their sight, they were still looking. Quite naturally so. And as they were gazing, an angel came to them and said, why gaze ye up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like fashion. He's going to return. Where is he going to return? Well, look, Zechariah 14, verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight. Verse 4, and his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. He's going to return to the Mount of Olives. He's going to return to the Mount of Olives. And when he returns to the Mount of Olives, one of the very first things that will take place is that the Jewish people will be converted. If I turn back to Zechariah 12 again, verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him." A spirit of grace is poured upon those in Jerusalem that shall see the Lord coming, and they'll mourn. This is conversion. This is conversion. And there is to begin, according to what the Savior tells us in Ezekiel 36, there is to begin then this great work of conversion amongst the Jewish people. And they're going to be saved. The Jews who today despise the Lord Jesus, many of them won't even utter his name. But there's a day coming when God in mercy will pour upon them the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they'll be saved. And we know that that day is getting nearer. Why? Because he has started to gather them into his land. You see, it's in his land that this conversion is to take place. Before 1948, we could say, well, Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 23 and the verse 24, that hasn't been fulfilled yet. He hasn't gathered them out of the other nations and out of the other land. But since 1948, we can say, yes, God in his providence has brought them together. It was God fulfilling his promise. The first part of his promise. He's gathered them in. Therefore, when he has them gathered, it's in the nation, it's in the land of Israel, that he's going to work the work of conversion. When it says he will sprinkle clean water upon them, a symbol of conversion. Cleanse them from their darkness, from their Christ rejection. You know, boys and girls, we all need that. We all need to be cleansed from our sins. We all need this wonderful work of grace. We need to be delivered from our turning of our back upon the Savior. If you're not saved today, you don't love the Lord. You don't honor him. He's not your king. He's not your king. And not until your heart is washed, and not until you are born again, will Christ become your king. And he'll set up his kingdom in your heart and life, and reign over you. Well, today then, signs in Israel, bringing the nation back to the ancient land that once was theirs, but out of which they had been cast for nearly 2,000 years. God has brought them back. God has brought them back. They're there now over 50 years, 60 years. And the time of the Lord's return is therefore near, when he will fulfill the rest of that promise that we read in Ezekiel chapter 36. Will you read that chapter again, please, sometime, maybe tonight, but sometime soon. Go through that chapter again, and look at it in the light of what I have told you. Gathering them in, and then when he has them there, he's going to save them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, oh, I pray that you'll make us alive to what thou art doing. Lord, we know we can pass through this world and never notice that the leaves are falling from the trees. Never notice that the sun isn't shining as long every day or as warmly. Too occupied with other things. Lord, let us not be blind to what thou art doing. Awaken us through your word, I pray. Bless every boy and girl here, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.